Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your home of the weird, strange, unusual, sometimes funny, sometimes not so funny, but always entertaining. I am one of your hosts, Barry Johnston, and I am manning the ship alone today. My co-host, the professor, Mr. Adam Beebe, is out sick today. He caught the bug that's been going around. I feel so bad for him. I hope he's doing okay. And just wanted to give a shout out to him and hope that he feels better. We've got a good one for you today. I'm not going to take up too much of your time here in the beginning, but I did want to talk about a couple of things that I've been watching, which one of the series is called Severance. I don't know if anybody's ever watched that out there, but if you haven't or you haven't heard of it, you should give it a try. It's really good. It's really weird. Really an interesting concept. A little bit slow in the beginning, about maybe halfway through the first season. It takes a little while to get it built up, but then, man, it's really good. And I just started the second season, and it gets really, really wild and weird. So check that out if you can. Also, new season of The White Lotus Hotel, which is really good. The past two seasons of that has been just one of mine and my wife's favorite shows. It's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, give that a watch. I just started the third season of that, and it's really pretty good so far. So that's really all I've got to talk about. I usually bounce back and forth with Adam, but he's not here, so I'm going to keep it pretty short. We today had the luxury of having one of our previous guests on, the one and only Barnaby Jones, a great guy. He runs a really cool investigative show. He hosts a bunch of podcasts and things like that. We're going to talk about some really cool stuff that he's got going on, including a cryptids, anomalies, and paranormal convention that's coming up in Appleton, Wisconsin, May 9th, 10th, and 11th. So check that out, and we'll get to it. Barnaby, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. Now that we got all our tech issues out of the way, I apologize for that.
No, you're good. You're good.
You have been one of us, so it's all part of it. That's podcasting.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Whenever on my shows, whenever I have any kind of mediums or spiritualists or anything on, like I can talk paranormal all day, I can talk Bigfoot cryptids all day, but whenever I have a medium or a sensitive or anything on, there's nothing but problems with the technology around it.
We can relate, man. We can definitely relate.
it seems like the internet just does not like the energy that's put out by those people.
Right.
And in a good way, just too much energy and too much abilities and stuff. So
it's always
fun.
Absolutely, man. So what have you been up to since we talked last, man? What do you got going on?
Whew, always something going on, man. We are gearing up here in Wisconsin. We are going to be holding our first ever Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Convention May 9th, 10th, and 11th here in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Cool.
It's a huge event. We are kicking off Friday, May 9th with a VIP meet and greet with myself and Squatch America, Scott and Hannah Violet. We also have Stacy Brown Jr., from down in the Florida region, coming up to talk about skunk apes. And we have Miranda Young will be joining us that Friday night. And then after the VIP meet and greet dinner, we're all going out Bigfooting up in Oconto County, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And then Saturday, we kick off the convention, and we're going to add Chad Lewis and to our lineup, and he is joining us that day as well for speakers. And we are premiering our brand new documentary, The Hairy Man of Dairyland, The Bigfoot of Wisconsin. That evening after the regular convention's over, we have over 30 vendors inside and outside, all signed up, all ready to go.
Wow.
Our speakers. And then after the documentary airs, we also have a psychic gallery reading that evening with the one and only Angela Zabel. And then we wrap up on Sunday with a two paranormal investigations here. We have an early one or a later one, depending, because we have limited space on those things. And Angela and Squatch America are going to be joining us as well for those. So it's a big 3-day weekend, all kinds of events and speakers and fun stuff. So
damn, that's quite the that is a lineup there, man. That sounds amazing. Now do you have to pay separately for each event type thing, or?
Yep. So Friday is one ticket, Saturday is one ticket, and then the two Sunday events are separate tickets. Just makes it really easy.
Cool.
So the whole, anything that is on Saturday is all included. You get the documentary, you get the gallery, you get the vendors, you get the speakers. And if you can't make it out in person, for $5, you can also get a virtual ticket. Ooh. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter when you can tune in, even if you can't do it live, you can watch all of our speakers, and you get a coupon for the documentary. So you, for 1 month after the convention, you can log in and watch the documentary as well.
Wow.
So you won't miss out on any of this stuff.
That's awesome.
That's not bad at all for all of access for all of that. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, you get access to the late night squatching hunt. Will you be getting streaming that? That would be really cool.
That would be, yeah. Unfortunately, whenever we've tried to live stream Bigfooting, we don't have access out in the woods with internet and stuff, and it never turns out well. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
there's no network out there labeled FBI van.
Yeah.
Bigfoot's internet, yeah.
Right.
How long have you been working on the documentary for?
Well, we've been working on it since we started CAPS. I mean, some of this let me start and tell you what the documentary is, because so there's no major documentary and very few like televised shows or anything documenting what's going on here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the Florida Skunk Ape, the Grassman of Ohio, you know, the Boggy Creek. You got all these stories of these creatures from all over the U.S., but Wisconsin has never been highlighted and featured. So that's what we want to do. And so we're showcasing all this evidence of the creature in Wisconsin here, going back from when we first started investigating. And it starts off talking about how I got into this and my journey with this, mm-hmm. and then goes into some of the people and other researchers that I've met along the way. What we're going for is pretty much an all-encompassing look at Bigfoot in Wisconsin. So we're going to take a look at the evidence. We're going to take a look at the other researchers that are working on the project and some of the stuff they're working on. And we're going to talk to some of the witnesses who have seen these things. So you also get to take a look at some of the personal lives of the people that are doing the research. How does their family feel about what they're doing? Do they think they're crazy? Do they think that, you know, are they supportive of this? Do they go out Bigfooting with them? So you get to see all aspects of this phenomenon, everything from stick structures to audio to thermal imaging. We're hoping to cover the gambit and just give you a broad image of everything that's going on here in Wisconsin.
That is cool, man. That's amazing. And so how much footage did you end up with, and how was that to get it all squished into a bite-sized piece?
Oh, man. So for anybody familiar with some of our work, I mean, like, you've seen some of the Bigfoot stuff that we've put out for Rhinelander, Wisconsin. We have a two-part, two-hour documentary on just Rhinelander and the howls and the thermal and stuff that we did there. And you're going to see some of that in this documentary.
Okay.
But for when you see, like, our YouTube documentary stuff of the Rhinelander howls, it's 2 hours long. And in this, we have cinematic recreations of some of the stuff that was witnessed.
Wow.
So we've taken it above and beyond. You get to see a little bit more other parts of the interviews that weren't already included. And instead of this 2-hour piece, it's now like a 10-minute piece that we had to cram all of Rhinelander. And so it's a very fast moving documentary.
Okay.
But so much more combined into it that we hope to put out, and in a new way.
That's cool.
So we have the Rhinelander stuff in there. We have some stuff from Mountain, Wisconsin as well in there, and some of the other cases that you may have already seen. But like I said, you're going to see it brought in a new way and with some new footage as well.
Cool.
And then a ton of new stuff that you guys haven't seen yet.
Very cool. Is there is there a region of Wisconsin that has more activity than any other, or is it kind of scattered all over?
It's kind of all over. I mean, for the most part, we get a lot of reports from Lake Tomahawk down to Anago.
Okay.
If you drew a really fat line across the top of the state there, and that'd be Rhinelander, Mountain, Suring, all that stuff is in that swatch right there. And we get a lot of reports out of that. And then you get a lot down in the southern Kettle Moraine, the northern Kettle Moraine, yeah. And then kind of over on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota, we get a lot of stuff out of as well. So
sure.
It's mostly right around the lake that we don't have a lot of stuff. And that's a lot of cities and bigger cities and stuff.
Okay,
but even by Green Bay, we're getting some reports out of that too, because that kind of falls in line with the Rhinelander Anago line there as well.
Sure. Wow, that's interesting, man. How did you find, I mean, did people come to you and say, hey, I got a story and I want to talk about it? Is that how you find people, or how did you get people involved in it?
So when we started researching, we picked up a few cases from other reporting agencies and stuff, and that led us to like Rhinelander. Well, once we had a hook in on Rhinelander, we put out our own feelers in the area, and that led us to more witnesses. So we kind of pulled our own based off of like these starting points. And now throughout the years as we've gone on, we've kind of started our own gathering network, and we're getting our own stories and our own stuff. Every time we go out to conventions, and I do a lot of library presentations now as well, all over Wisconsin, and I meet people from the top to the bottom of the state here of just people have said, you know, hey, I don't want to talk in public, but you know, after the show, hey,
right.
Let me tell you about what I've seen or where I've seen it and stuff. And I get a lot of reports like that, and gives us a pointer to go and poke at a little bit. So
that was my next question, because I was wondering how well it's received, you know, because when we went down to our Bigfoot Festival in Oklahoma a few years ago, and I was blown away with like how many people were just willing to talk about it, you know, in that setting at least, you know. But when you're speaking in front of people and you're like sort of laying this out, is that well received, or do you get some backlash at all, or what's that like?
Well, for the most part, every one of the conventions and library presentations I do, the people are there with an open mind.
Yeah.
If they're not already had an experience or already out there looking themselves, they're open to the idea. I don't think that I've had anybody completely skeptical show up just to ridicule or poke fun or anything like that. There's been some people that have come up to me and said, you know, well, you know, I'm not too sure if this thing is real or not, but there's a lot of evidence in your presentation that you know, really starts scratching my head and opening my mind a little bit more to this. And, you know, they might not leave full believer, but it gives them that opening to say, you know, that's really interesting. And
right.
I do a couple different presentations. I do one that's all on Cryptozoology 101, and we cover everything from Bigfoot, lake monsters, chupacabra, Mothman, Dogman, all that stuff. And it gives you a broad picture of cryptozoology and what it is. But along the way, we also talk about folklore and myth and mythology, and saying, you know, like throughout the ages, these things have been reported all over the world, all over different areas. And when you take away the names of these things, you know, stop calling it a skunk ape, a grass man, you know, what right. have you, and just say this large hairy creature, you're getting all over the world these reports of these things, and they're all the same.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if something is out there, all these people are seeing it. All these people are having the same experiences. That leads more credibility to this.
Sure.
And then when you talk about things that are actual science, like, you know, the work with Darby Orcutt out of North Carolina University down there, the DNA sampling, you bring that up. You talk about how, you know, like the sea creatures and stuff and the reptilian cryptids, you have parthenogenic reproduction where they can basically clone themselves. So now you're looking at all these things that say, well, if you only have one Loch Ness monster, how has it survived for hundreds of years?
Yeah.
Well, if you have the right conditions where it can lay eggs and reproduce, this thing would only need one creature that basically clones itself and lays an egg, and you could have generations of this thing go on with the right conditions. And you lay out all this stuff under a scientific basis and explain it to people. And they go, well, you know, maybe I don't believe in Bigfoot, but, you know, there sure is a lot of science that I didn't realize actually could put this into the realm of fact and reality.
Sure.
Going along with, you know, with the asexual reproduction is the fact that, you know, a lot of, like, particularly reptiles can be very long lived, you know, like tortoises for hundreds of years, and some birds even can live, you know, for extremely long lives, longer than humans. So it's not, you know, again, it's the science that is behind it that people don't think about. They just think about some, you know, drunk rednecks out in the woods, you know, right, confused about what, you know, some uncle or something that came up behind me. I don't know. So that's the way to approach it. That's the way to, you know, really give it, you know, the credentials, to give it the credibility, and that's what makes sense. That's why we like having discussions with people who are, you know, part of organizations who are looking at this through, you know, a reasonable, logical eye. And, you know, you do take away the mythology and the behind it and the mysticism, and focus on the probabilities and focus on, you know, the potentiality of, like, the scientific version of it, you know, that there could be an animals. Like, I don't, my mom will, you know, she'll randomly find yourself watching, I guess, like something on Discovery Channel, and she'll text me. She's like, "Do you believe in Bigfoot? Do you believe in this?" And I, you know, go and explain to her, yeah, I think that it's by the science of it, yeah, there is a high likelihood that it does exist. And, you know, we don't have necessarily 100% proof, you know, or at least accepted 100% proof by a science degree. But, you know, there's a shit ton of stories, and there's just a shit ton of, you know, eyewitnesses that all see all over the globe, like you said, virtually the exact same thing. You know, there might be some different colorations and variations of the, you know, exact height and of these creatures, but they all have very similar ways of movement, say, patterns of behavior, you know, and all of that. And it's just like, you know, we didn't know that gorillas were real until, like, I think it was in the mid-1800s or something like that. They were still very much a legend, you know. So,
yeah, the giant squid.
And the giant squid.
You know, you talk about one of the more fascinating things that has happened in our lifetime is that we found giant squids to be real. It's like we always thought they might be. You'd always hear stories, old pirate and sailor stories about these things, but it's like, yeah, there's just, and Gigantopithecus was a thing. It was a thing that we know existed. So it's not outside the realm of what's possible, you know? And the Kettle Moraine Forest, and those are vast areas that a lot, you know, those definitely could live in, you know. How many investigations have you done on Bigfoot, if you were to guesstimate?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. For a while when we were doing Burlington Woods, I'll tell you, we were down there almost every weekend. For Rhinelander, we were up there full weekends from March through May of 2020, you know, up in Upper Michigan. We were up there almost every weekend all of 2020.
Wow.
Into 2021. So I could not tell you how many. The computer could because it's all saved over there.
Sure. Do you have a process? Like, have you developed a process when you go into an investigation like that? Do you have a starting point? What are you looking for also, like, when you're doing that?
So, I mean, when you're looking for, you know, what we're doing, I guess, it's the same as, like, paranormal. You know, you get a case, and you're told, like, this is something that happens, right? So we go out there, and we hear a witness or something that says, well, I saw this thing in this area. Well, that gives you a pinpoint of where to start. And you go there, and you look for evidence. Okay, so how long ago was this? Well, if it was several years ago, obviously, it's pretty not relevant at that point. But, you know, if it was, like, 2 weeks ago, you go out, and you start looking in that area for any kind of movement, right? So is there branches broken where something big has moved through here recently?
Right.
If you can start following that trail, then you can start looking for footprints and anything else in the area, like stick structures or bedding spots, or you start looking at water areas for footprints because everything has to drink. So something, if it's in the area, it's going to need water, it's going to need food. They're going to go down to these water, rivers, streams areas. So you start looking around there. That's kind of where we start out, you know. But it's just basically following your clues, following your evidence and stuff.
The stick structures are interesting, right? Because are you looking for, like, I've seen some guys that do this, and they're looking for, like, these, like, small trees or whatever that have been broken up high. Is that kind of what you're talking about? And they some of them form these wild, like, shelter looking things.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different kinds. Anything from, like, anything that looks out of the ordinary, right? So everybody's walked through the woods, or, you know, on a nature trail or something, and, you know, you see sticks on the ground, you see sticks hanging out of trees and stuff. But when we're looking specifically for this stuff, I always try and explain this in a matter of a stick versus a branch. Okay.
Yeah.
So a stick is one straight stick of wood. It doesn't have anything coming off of it. It doesn't have any forks coming off or anything. It's a stick.
Yeah.
When a branch falls off a tree, it lands and it comes down and it's got forks coming off of it, little branches, little twigs and stuff. So when you see these things and you have branches, typically that's something very, very natural, mundane. Any of this stuff that we're looking for is just a stick. And then you look for things that look out of place, that are interwoven. So if something falls, it's going to fall one on top of the other like that. Well, when this one falls like this, but it falls underneath this one that's underneath the first one.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way that it could have fallen like that.
Right.
Because they're all twisted together. That's the kind of stuff that we look for. Sure. Anything that has a pattern to it, a series of trees all broken off at the same height,
right,
in a certain direction, right?
Sure.
Bowed over things with, like, a rock sitting on top of it. You get these big arches. So that's not normal. Right. A rock doesn't fall out of the sky and pin this tree down, right?
Yeah.
So things like that that are very not natural looking. And then you have to take into consideration, well, could a person have done this? So you look at where it is and you look for other evidence around it. Well, this one is right on a trail. Okay, so maybe we'll throw that one out, even if it does look like it could be something potentially Bigfoot. It's literally on the trail. Well, we're going to throw that one away either way. So then you start looking at other things. And it falls into, again, like, if you walk into the middle of the woods and you have audio, you have footprints, mm-hmm. you have a sighting report, and then you're starting to find these structures. This adds credibility to the structures. Whereas if you're just walking through a nature trail or in your park and you see these things, well, obviously you're taking that into consideration.
Right.
And when you go out into public areas as well, you have things like bushcraft, where people go out there and they build these, like, teepee structures and that.
Right.
So another thing I take into consideration is if I find a structure and I could take a tarp and drape it over the top of it and create a shelter, it probably wasn't made by a Bigfoot.
Right.
So it's a lot of things like that. It's just trial and error of going out there and using, you know, common sense and deduction and, right. You know, what is this? Why is it here? Does it have a purpose? Look for other things in the area around it, like trash. You know, are there a bunch of pop cans around it or, you know, cigarette butts or something? Is there sign of human around this thing? Or is it just all natural? Are there a bunch of, like, animal bones or something to show that another animal was feeding here or something like that?
So you're going deep into the forest, right?
And sometimes,
So you've had to develop some sort of tracking abilities. Is that something that you've developed over time, or did you have that kind of a background? I can imagine you got to kind of know what you're doing.
I am born and raised city boy. Okay. I have never gone camping, never been out in the woods. I always said, and ironically, I always said the only way you're going to get me out in the woods camping is if we're going Bigfooting. Right. And here I am, you know, out here, you know, camping and looking for stuff because now I'm out Bigfooting. I had the amazing opportunity of going down to Kentucky and Tennessee and spending a full day. And I mean, from morning to night with the Turtle Man from Animal Planet.
Wow. Oh.
And
how was that?
Oh my gosh.
We got to talk about that, man.
So Turtle Man is a character. Like, I'll give you that. He is very entertaining, very exciting, very character on TV.
Yeah.
But he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When you get him out there and you take him out and you he knows every tree, what kind of tree it is. Stuff about him, like if there's a broken branch, he can tell you how long ago that branch was broken.
Wow.
Based on how long it takes for each individual plant to wilt and you know, change colors and stuff, and looking at rocks and showing how if you pick up a rock, you can see how much mud is on the bottom of it, and if it's sitting on top of leaves, well, it was thrown there, and all this amazing information. Wow. We got to spend an entire day with him down there going through the woods and Bigfooting with him, because he's had a couple encounters with Bigfoot himself. Once when he was really young, he was actually on Finding Bigfoot talking about his encounter.
Wow.
And more recently, a couple years ago now at this point, but he saw a female and her juvenile out in the woods, and that started his most recent kick. He's actually got a YouTube series, Turtle Man's Hunt for Bigfoot.
Wow.
And him and his female wife, companion, whatever she is, they go out, and I'm not sure what's but they go out and they look for these things, and he's got some very interactions on there. They've actually caught him on film possibly a couple times.
Wow.
One, they're down in this little like canyon looking up on two ridge lines, and you see this one go across on the canyon and around the ridge, I'm sorry. And then there's another one where there's possibly one, they're up on a ledge kind of looking out, and there's possibly like the face of one out there. So they they got him down there for sure. So
That's fascinating.
I had no idea that he was doing that, and now I definitely am going to check all those out.
Yeah,
for sure. He definitely, like you said, he's a character, but that's, you know, it's not a fake character. It's just who he is. And he knows his shit. You can tell. Because, I mean, dealing with all the different kinds of animals, you know, I mean, he has to. And he, you get those big ass snapping turtles, man. They can fuck you up.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
Especially in the water, man, you know? So, yeah, that's wild.
That's awesome. Impressive. So you went down there and you trained with him, and then and then you sort of put that to practice, and I'm sure that being out in the field and stuff, it just, you get better and better at sighting things. And, you know, I've always said that hunters are some of the best people to be at the forefront of some of these things, because they're so, they understand the woods. They can see things that I couldn't see. You know, they understand, you know, the migration patterns. They understand times of year and what is doing what, and how to see just the mundane things are special. And so I'm sure there's a part of that. You know, you always hear about the Native American trackers and things like that that were just so good at, like, just seeing the little details that stick out to a normal person. You just be like, ah, oh, that doesn't mean anything to me, you know. But that's pretty fascinating, man. So have you had, like, is there any, and not to give anything away with the documentary or anything like that, but have you had any experiences that are like, holy shit, this is incredible? Like anything like that, that's just like pretty compelling to you?
So I've told the story on pretty much every podcast. I probably told it the first time I was on here, but we went down to Burlington the first time, Burlington, Wisconsin, and we had this, what I believe is a Bigfoot that was holding a tree branch down, looking out at us. And when I shined my light on the woods, it popped back and went back. And that was the experience that started CAPS, going back and revisiting that.
Wow.
And I mean, even after that, and then it's like beginner's luck, right? So we went back there and we found footprints in the mud.
Wow.
And then we had whistles back and forth from the two ridges.
Wow.
And we heard this massive branch get ripped off a tree, and then we got growled at. And then that night we experienced what I believe is we saw two of these things on thermal. And even after all that, and we've never recreated that down there in Burlington. We've had some other stuff happen, but never to this extent of just they were there, like, yeah, no doubt. And even after that, I kind of was like, well, I don't know what this is. I mean, it sounds Bigfoot. It's got all the you know, the earmarks and stuff of it. But it I don't know. I'm skeptical. And then we went up to Rhinelander, and we heard the howls that were recorded up there in person. Like, we heard them coming out of the woods.
Damn.
And we're like, I don't know what that is. And then we had rocks thrown at us from the opposite shoreline of the Pelican River.
And wow.
Watching this, like literally hearing the rocks come flying across the river, no flashlights, no nothing over there. And this is dense. I mean, it's dark in these woods. This is a very primeval woods on the other side of this river.
Yeah.
And there's no way a person could walk in there at night without a flashlight, because I've done it, you know?
Yeah.
And so then the next day, going over there and finding three distinct size footprints in the mud. That's what really did
it for me. Now,
I mean, there's no doubt what was over there in my mind.
Are you taking like molds and stuff? Are you doing molds? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we cast as many of those as we could. We actually cast a handprint as well that day.
Oh, so, my God, dude. How big are these prints?
They were 9x4 was the smallest.
Okay.
And then it was 6x12. And 8x16, I think.
Yeah.
So there was three distinct ones.
Wow.
And then, as I said, when we started researching up there, we put out feelers for more people. And up the road, about 20 minutes up the road from Rhinelander in Harshaw, Wisconsin, we had another witness who had one on his property, and he got a footprint cast. And that one was 10 inches.
Okay.
So that one was a fourth completely different size track.
Wow.
Than the three that we had in Rhinelander. So at the time of March, April, May of 2020, there was at least four of these creatures within 20 miles of each other.
Damn.
Wow.
That's amazing, man. That is, you know, one of our co-hosts, he comes on, he's a big Bigfoot guy. I would love for him to be in this conversation, because this is right up his alley, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at this point in time, what is your take on, is Bigfoot a interdimensional being, or are they existing here all the time? Because the first time I ever heard of this idea was when we were at the Bigfoot Festival, and somebody was selling t-shirts with a UFO at the top and a Bigfoot at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is that about? And then this idea of, like, there's some sort of thing happening. I don't know. I'm curious as to what you think and what your thoughts are on that.
I think that they're very much flesh and blood. I think that they're always here, or at least flesh and blood when they are here, yeah. If they do come from somewhere else. But in my opinion, they're just another human species. They're an animal that lives out in the woods, but more so than that. I think they're like a more Native American kind of, very in tune with the land.
Right.
That doesn't want to, I'll say it this way, is smart enough not to become modernized.
Right.
You know, we don't need fire. We don't need tools. We don't need houses. We're good where we are. You know, we respect the land. We're one with the woods, and we're just going to leave you alone kind of people.
Sure.
You hear that a lot from the Native Americans and stuff, of that they used to trade with these things. And then when the white man came here, the Sasquatch just took to the hills and took off and said, we don't want nothing to do with this because of the way that the other Native people were treated, yeah. You know, and they said, nope, we're not dealing with that. And I think that's part of the reason why we don't interact with them more, because they don't want nothing to do with us, you know?
Sure.
And I think that's where they're at, but they're somewhere between human and animal, and they just, are happy where they are.
Sure. And highly tuned to humans. Absolutely. and yeah. what we do and how not to be found and
the danger we present.
Right.
Right. That should really be the underlying thing, the dangers that we do present, because, you know, I mean, we treat each other like shit, you know. It's just like, you know, we and without apology a lot, you know. So knowing that and seeing how we treat each other, then why would you want, as another kind of being, to really even get involved with that?
Yeah. So, is Bigfoot the most reported cryptid from that area, from up where you are, would you say?
I mean, yes and no. We get a lot of the Dogman reports as well, though. Okay. So, you know, the whole Beast of Bray Road, all of Linda Godfrey's work down in southern Wisconsin, the Kettle Moraine, and even some Dogman in northern Wisconsin have been reported, not as frequently, but like about midway down the state down, you get a lot of reports of these Dogman creatures and, you know, werewolf or what have you. And I guess fortunately or unfortunately, I haven't had too much experience with them. We have gone looking for them. We've tried to do research on them. We've tried to, you know, go to their environments and stuff and follow up on sightings and that. And even as far as Michigan, we've gone looking for recent cases where these things have been sighted. And it was just so happened that the same week that we were in Michigan for a convention, about 20 minutes up the road from there was a sighting of one of these. So the night after the convention, we drove up and drove around the town and stuff and kind of looked around, but obviously didn't see anything because, yeah, you know, whatever. But we followed up on it and that. But yeah, those get cited quite a bit around here. And even Lee Hample, who we've worked with, has had a couple sightings on his property. And his property backs up right to Bray Road. So okay. He's had them on there. We've been down to his property a couple times, and we've gotten a lot of weird stuff on his property. It's been noted to be like akin of Skinwalker Ranch.
Wow.
All the weird phenomenon that he's got going on there.
Wow.
We've documented quite a bit there as well. So
do you think that with that, because I know you do investigate the paranormal, do you think there's that kind of, do you think it's that kind of maybe like a, what am I looking for? Not a vortex, but like a nexus point.
Conduit, yeah.
Portal, something like that, potentially there?
I don't know. We have gone down and done serious work on Lee Hample's property twice now. Both of those episodes are out on our YouTube that people can go check out. The first one is Wisconsin Skinwalker Ranch, and then the second one is The Secret of Lee Hample's Hayfield. Okay. And both of them are insane. Like, the first time we were there, we basically got chased off the property. We had our van had redundancies built into it. So we basically we had three power sources running our equipment. and all three of them got completely drained and shut down.
Damn.
Aww. So all of our security cameras that were running on the van at that night and got basically were being turned off. Wow. And then one of our security cameras that we had pointing up towards, let's see, would be the east, towards the east. The night vision doesn't work in it anymore. So it will not flip over from daylight to nighttime. It works as a daytime camera, but the night went out in it. So it's just a white screen at night. Now, the interesting thing is we had trail cameras set around his property as well. And the one of them was set directly looking at the nose of the van in the middle of his hayfield. And right at the time when all these power issues were going on and stuff, my mom has an Ovilus. And throughout the night, it was talking, saying different things like triangle arrived, special hunting, just creepy stuff like that.
Damn.
And so when all these power outages are going on and we're having trouble with the equipment stuff, I turned to her and I said, you know, are you doing this? And the Ovilus spouts out two words, as aggression.
Whoa.
Shit.
And so we're like, all right, I don't know what's going on here, but here's the deal. We're here to document stuff. And if all of our equipment's going down, we're going to lose all of our equipment to document and there's nothing we can film. So whatever happens, we're not going to get anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't want us here. We're not going to get anything. We're leaving. So we grabbed all of our cameras and stuff and took off. So the three trail cameras on the property were set to take time-lapse pictures. There was two on the far end of the field, kind of facing the van, basically at an angle. And then the one was out from the nose of the van, straight on from us on the side. The two at the end of the property didn't take any pictures the entire night.
Damn.
So they should have taken pictures every 5 minutes.
Wow.
Nothing the entire night. The other one that was directly out from the nose of the van took pictures all night. And the last pictures it took are the most interesting because when all the power failures and as aggression is going on, the same direction where that security camera is pointed at about a 45 degree angle behind the van, like this is the van up here behind it, is this white kind of half moon shaped thing in the sky. And it, I mean, it's pretty big. It's big as the van, right? I don't know, you know, distance from where it was or how close we were from the camera, but there's this half moon kind of shaped white thing in the sky. And I'm thinking, man, that looks like, you know, like a UFO or something parked behind the van.
Yeah.
And it only shows up in the last three pictures that it took on the trail camera.
Wow.
So for the 15 minutes that we were experiencing all this stuff. Now here's where it gets even better, because if you watch The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, in I think it's the second season where Cameron Fugel is flying the helicopter.
Yeah.
And his equipment starts saying that 45 feet below them is the ground.
Right.
Even though they're several thousand feet up.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the camera pictures of that on the, what do you call it? Their security cameras, whatever.
Yeah.
Where they're looking up at the helicopter, there's this same white semicircle object underneath the helicopter.
Wow.
And it is the exact same shape and, and look of what's in the pictures that we have.
Damn. That's
absolutely amazing.
That is wild. So
that was our first experience there. And then the second time that we were out there, we set up, you name it, the gambit of equipment. We had thermal imaging running on the entire property, like scanning the whole property all nights from the sky all the way to the ground. So if anything came in, we'd see it. If anything was on the ground, like a dog man, we'd see it. We had a thermal imaging drone in the sky for, we'll say, 75% of the night. And I'll get to that in a second. But we had all these tests. We were running the 1 point whatever frequency, I can't remember offhand, the frequency from Skinwalker Ranch. We were broadcasting that. We were looking for it coming back. We were shooting fireworks off up into certain areas of the property to see if we could trigger anything.
Wow.
All this, these different experiments that we had running, and we had it all documented on all these cameras again. So at one point in the night, we're flying the thermal imager out, And the whole hayfield is pretty much the same color because it's the same time of night. Everything's the same. And this hot circle shows up about 50 feet out in front of where our base camp was in the middle of the field. So we're flying over the field, and this, like, I don't know, it's probably about maybe 6-8 foot round circle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what that is. There's this heat spot out there. So I sent one of my researchers out there to stand in the middle of it to see. They can't see nothing, but I can clearly see them standing in the middle of this circle. Mm-hmm. And as they're standing in it, it morphs into a peanut and then moves in front of them. So now they had to walk like 5 feet forward to be standing in the middle of it again. Wow. And once they did that, it morphed again so that this heat source was like a path, kind of like, you know, like the yellow brick road.
Yeah. Kind of
follow this trail. Well, at that moment, there's this weird screaming howl thing that comes from the far corner of the field where my other team was. So there was, we had one base camp. There was four of us sitting in the middle of this entire field. And then there was three of us sitting at the far corner of the field out by the cornfield and stuff at the edge of the property. And beyond them was this weird animal sound. So we're like, oh, that's kind of important. We're going to go send the drone and see what the heck is screaming over there. Well, as I zoomed away from this, I lost control of the drone. Let me rephrase that. I didn't lose control of the drone. I lost a video feed from the drone.
Oh.
And I was not, I could still pilot it.
Okay.
I could return it to home. I could move it, but I couldn't see what it was seeing.
Damn.
So it was no longer connected to my screen. And I tried to get it to reconnect that night and I couldn't. So basically after this peanut shaped, you know, road to whatever showed up on the property, it killed my drone. Couldn't do anything else with it.
Wow, man. That is
so
crazy.
It's an amazing property. Very weird stuff going on there. And I mean, we check out the episodes. They're both on our YouTube now. And there's so much more that happened and stuff. But those are
That's cool, man.
Weird things.
So. Damn, dude. We've had a couple of Dogman stories on a while back. But yeah, that's interesting. I'm learning more and more about cryptids throughout the years. And it's just... Yeah, that whole thing with like Skinwalker Ranch and the weird shit that happens out there, man. I mean, it's like if there's a vortex or something, it's out there. I don't know what it is, but it is, something is weird going on, and I don't doubt for 1 minute that there's not more possibilities for that kind of stuff. You always heard about Native Americans talking about the vortexes and things like that, power spots, you know, that just sort of have this thing, you know, and it's just incredible, man. And to have footage of it and to experience it, I can imagine would be pretty powerful, you know, pretty powerful. Because you know when shit's going down. I mean, the fact that you lost all your power, yeah. It's like you're three deep and everything's done, you know, it's like, what? You know what, how do you explain that other than there's some weird shit happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming there's other people that have done investigations out there and weird shit happens. And so it's like known for that. That's incredible, man. That is amazing.
I'm curious as to what this, where the trail was leading, you know. Absolutely. Like what it was trying to, you know, obviously it seemed like it was trying to lure the whoever it was that was standing in it, the, you know, to a place, to something. So that's
and the fact that I lost control of the drone while it was hovering over that hotspot.
Yeah.
Like it just disconnected. You know, I have no explanation for this. It's just such weird energy, you know. But like the first time we were out there, we took all of our equipment, our EMFs, our tri-field meter, our radiation detector, natural gas. We've thought of that too, you know, like that methane or something on the property is causing these weird phenomena and stuff. Anyway, we took all these different meters and stuff, and we spent about 2-3 hours walking grid back and forth across his entire hayfield. And it took us quite a while. And we got nothing.
Wow.
I mean, Absolutely nothing. Yeah. But that's just it. You know, like at the moment when we're in that location, there could be nothing there. You know, right. Same as Skinwalker Ranch. And then something changes, something happens, and then the phenomenon presents itself.
Yeah.
But you don't know. And that's just it. You know, you could be standing there for a month and nothing happens, and the second you walk away is when something's going to happen. So
sure, man. Sure. That's incredible. Well, it's good that people out there like yourself that are doing that kind of work. And this is such a weird world that we live in, and anything's a possibility. And anytime you shut yourself off to that, then you're not experiencing what could be possible. You know, it's, and to spend your time and your money doing this, it has to mean something to you, and you do it for a reason, and that's got to be because you see something, you know. And that's probably, I mean, honestly, man, that is an endeavor that is you'll never, maybe in your own lifetime, reap the reward of that, and maybe you will, and that'd be great. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you're giving your time and you're giving your energy to try to figure out what this weird shit is, you know, and how do we explore it? How do we, you know, put it in front of people and get them to think that maybe, you know, there's possibility that there's other things out there other than the reality that we experience. You know,
yeah, the research is extremely valuable,
big time.
It's having an experience and wanting an answer as to why. I mean, that's it. You know, I've always been interested in the paranormal. I've had some weird, bizarre experiences with that, and then, you know, like I said, when we went down to Burlington and we had every earmark of Bigfoot. We had this creature moving through the woods that we couldn't, you know, didn't see. Then the footprints that we found, branch breaking, whistles, thermal, the growl, all says Bigfoot.
Right.
But I mean, I didn't see one with my eyes. I saw it on thermal.
Right.
So you're constantly chasing that. Well, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't a Bigfoot, there was no other person.
Right.
You know, that's the thing is everyone wants to say, oh, a person's out there hoaxing with you. You know,
right.
I can guarantee you with the equipment that we have, there ain't no person that's going to evade us out there.
Right.
People for the most part are pretty stupid and clumsy out in the woods.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I can chase down a person on thermal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to hide from me on thermal in the woods. I mean, look at all the police and stuff use it, and you know, the drones and everything that we have on our team. You're not going to hide from us. And whatever this is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not a person. It's an animal. But then if it's a deer or, you know, a moose or an elk or whatever have you up here, even that you should stumble on and see.
Sure.
Well, there's just all these things of saying, well, if it is a mundane excuse, look at all the trail cameras that we got out there. Deer are so stupid. They walk in front of the trail cameras all the time.
Yep.
That's not what this is.
Yeah.
If it was, we would have these pictures. You would have these experiences. And it wouldn't be that, well, what the heck kind of a thing going on here?
Right.
There's something else there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something else. Yeah. That's amazing, man.
Okay. So awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about real quick, plug all the stuff you've got going on. Tell people again about the dates of the event and how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So you guys, if you want more paranormal cryptids and all that stuff, I host two podcasts on the Untold Radio Network. It's run by Doug Hychek from Monster Quest. Every Monday, I host Monsters on the Edge, a brand new episode of Cryptozoology. Every Thursday, I host the Paranormal Spectrum, and that's everything from UFOs, remote viewing, hypnosis, mediums, psychics, you name it, from all the phenomenon there. Once every couple months, we release a brand new Caps Road Trip series on our YouTube channel, Wisconsin Caps on YouTube, and these document all of our adventures across the United States. They come out 6 episodes a year, and we have a bunch of other series out there as well. We have Spirits of Mackville, which is all about Haunted Gentlemen's Club in Mackville, Wisconsin. We have Spirits of Menominee, which is all about the haunted downtown Menominee, Michigan. We have more stuff coming from that. We have the Finding Hayden, which is all about the Hayden Adventure property in Upper Michigan and all the bigfooting we do up there. Plenty of stuff for you guys to check out on our YouTube channel. Our other team members as well have different podcasts out there. That's all on our YouTube. Great. You can find all those links at wisconsincaps.com. And of course, if you want to check out our convention, it is May 9th, 10th, and 11th in Appleton, Wisconsin. And you can get a virtual ticket for just $5 and stream all the speakers and our documentary as well. Or you can check out the documentary, will be available on our Patreon page for direct purchase or to all of our Patreon members. And that again also is Wisconsin Caps.
So. Awesome, man. Dude, this has been amazing. And I mean, we appreciate you coming back. It's always good to hear from you, man. Please don't be a stranger. Come back anytime. We love talking about this stuff.
Absolutely. Anytime you want me, now that I re-downloaded Skype, so we're all good.
yeah. I'll be watching some of those tonight, man. I'm gonna get on YouTube, man. And before I go to bed, I like to put something on, and you know, the wife doesn't like to hear it, so I had to put my headphones in, and I take that time to digest good things.
Our newest Caps road trip is my trip out to Utah and the actual Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, cool. How was that, dude? Cool.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I want to say that there was really cool stuff that happened there. I did get one anomalous light in the sky that I have no idea what was. It wasn't a car. It wasn't anything. But beyond that, it was a pretty
mundane
trip.
Yeah.
But there was some other stuff that happened, and we do go check out like the petroglyph sites and stuff like that. Cool. So it's still a pretty cool episode.
Cool.
More history and behind the scenes of the ranch.
That's so awesome, man. Dude, that's great. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks again, man. Be careful out there on those roads, man.
Definitely, dude. And do come back anytime. Just give us a holler.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's what's dash your, spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Barnaby, it's always a pleasure to have you on. It's great to catch up with you. Always great to listen to the fun stories, the investigations, the Turtle Man, awesome freaking story about getting to hang out with him and learn from him. And I know that many of you are probably familiar with him from his TV appearances. All the investigations that he's done in Burlington with the Bigfoot and the molds that he was able to get, the Rhinelander investigation, Lee Hample's Skinwalker Ranch. That is a wild story. Really, really interesting stuff. Great to hear that he's got some stuff going on. You guys need to definitely check out the Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Convention that he's got going on in Appleton, Wisconsin, May 9th, 10th, and 11th. Again, thanks for coming on, Barnaby. We appreciate it. We look forward to more talks in the future. And if you have a weird story, we would love to talk to you. Please get in touch with us. Come on the show. Let's have a conversation. This is exactly how it goes. It's another great example of a podcast that is just super easygoing. We just talk. We have a conversation. We hear what you have to say, and we would love to talk to you. You can get in touch with us through our email, which is wywspod@gmail.com. You can also go to whatsyourweirdstory.com. You can listen to all of our back episodes. We've got, 6.5 years worth of episodes. So lots of stuff to dig through. get in touch with us. Come on, share the podcast. Let people know in your life that we exist. We'd greatly appreciate it. Hope everyone is doing well. And again, we look forward to next week. We've got another great episode for you guys. Until then, hang in there, be safe, and be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.